right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hi, everybody. How's it going today? I want to kind of give you a heads up. We're going to have a different kind of experience today. We're going to kind of have a flashback to the 60s and 70s. And how many of you remember Carlos Castaneda? Maybe it was, for some of you, it was before your time. But he had a character named Don Juan. And Don Juan was a shaman. And so recently, I got an email from a publicist that refers a lot of her clients to our show. And I read the materials that this person sent me, and it's kind of a modern day Castaneda, and it's Charles Lankley. He's the former news editor at the London Evening Standard, Europe's best-selling evening newspaper. Raised in England, he set out across the United States in 2003 to drive from Florida to California, but wound up on a Navajo reservation in Arizona. At a peyote medicine ceremony, he met a shaman named Blue Horse, and after earning a degree in anthropology at the University of New Mexico in 2007, he became Blue Horse's apprentice and began compiling an archive on the workings of Navajo traditional medicine. Langley and his wife, nuclear physicist Andrea Polonek, live in New Mexico. And he wrote a book called Spirit Land, The Peyote Diaries of Charles Lankley. So I'm looking forward to, I was just talking to Charles off air, and it just reminds me of some of the things people I've known have been into, and it's refreshing to kind of be reminded of some of this, because we all kind of go on in our lives and we forget about things and forget about all the different things we have done that have kind of got us here to this moment in time. So with all that said, welcome Charles Lankley to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that hopefully will inspire you to think in a new way. Hi, Charles. Hello. Well, Charles is having communication problems right now. Let's just see if we've lost signal with him, and I'm going to go ahead and try to get him back here. Let's see.
Well,
are you there, Charles?
Can you
hear me now?
Fine.
Good. Okay, we lost contact for a minute.
Good. Okay.
It shows you how powerful this peyote is.
Yeah, there are plenty of bad things out there. So, but anyway,
yeah.
You can hear me okay now. Good.
Yes. And I don't know. Did you hear the introduction that I made about you?
I heard some of it, and then I sort of lost contact, and then you came back again. So
okay.
I think I got most of that.
All right, and we talked a little bit off air, so I want to welcome you to the Inspire Possibility Show, and hopefully what you have to say will inspire many to stay curious. That's something I really believe in, is that curiosity really keeps us alive, and it keeps us young, and I think as long as we're curious, we keep growing and expanding, and certainly it sounds like for you, you were a publisher of a very successful newspaper in London, and then you make a trip to New York? Was that what happened? And then you started traveling across the United States and ended up in the Southwest?
Well, no. I mean, it wasn't quite like that. I was actually the night news editor of the London Evening Standard, which, as you quite correctly say, is the largest evening newspaper in Western Europe. But I just reached that stage. I was in my early 50s when really I'd done everything. You know, there wasn't anything more for me to do, and I was just becoming part of the furniture. So I left one day with no clear idea of what to do.
Right.
But I'd always had this strange idea that one day I'd like to drive across the United States.
Right.
So I actually flew to Miami.
You know, excuse me for one second, Charles.
Yeah.
There's static on the line.
Okay.
And what I'm wondering is if you could hang up and call back.
Yeah.
Let's see if that will get the static off the line.
Sure.
Well, you're doing that. Let's just see if that'll work.
I'll do it straight away, Ralph.
Just hang up and then call back. So we're on the line here with Charles Langley. He's written a book called Spiritland, The Peyote Diaries of Charles Langley. And he started to tell us about his journey, about here he was. He was an editor of the London Evening Standard, Europe's best-selling evening newspaper. And he reaches this point in his life when he decides that he needs to do something different. So he ends up going to Florida, then driving on his way to California. He stops at a Navajo reservation in Arizona, and that's more or less where he is now. So we're back. Charles, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
I think it sounds better.
Good, good.
Sounds better. So I was just explaining to our listeners that you come to the U.S., you go to Florida, and you're going to drive to California, but you end up in a Navajo reservation in Arizona, and your life changes.
I did.
Yes.
It certainly did. But I wouldn't like
to. So what was that like for you when you were saying before you're in your 50s and you've been in this career as an editor, and then all of a sudden you decide that I need to do something different? What was there like a message, or what was going on at that time? How did you make that decision? Was it you were married then, is that correct?
No, I'd been divorced for some time by then,
okay.
Which did make it a bit easier, I think. But I didn't have a wife to convince that, you know, we ought to give up everything and golf and do something crazy like drive across the United States. But
especially when you're from London.
Yeah, especially when you're from London, yes. You know, it was what it was, and I think you've very smartly put your finger on it earlier on when you're talking about curiosity. I just wanted to do something else, and I had no idea what it was. I mean, I really didn't. But I knew I'd always wanted to drive across the United States, so I bought a car in Miami, and I was heading for San Francisco, where I had a friend of mine, an English friend, who was a lecturer at the university there. But I never made it. And when I got to Albuquerque, New Mexico, some very strange things began to happen. I mean, they call New Mexico the land of enchantment. And as far as I'm concerned,
the land of what?
Was
that the land of what?
Of enchantment, they call it.
Enchantment.
The land of enchantment. That's actually a state slogan. As you drive across the border, it says, "Welcome to the land of enchantment." And as far as I'm concerned, it really was. I met some people, one of whom turned, they're Navajos, but one of them turned out to be a medicine man. And I got a very brief initial view of Navajo traditional medicine, just sort of one peep, really. And I was just so enthralled. I just felt I had to find out more about this. But, I mean, I wouldn't want anybody to think there was any great plan about this. There just simply wasn't. it was kind of like one step at a time until you look around and find you're right in the thick of a forest, you know, and things are happening all over
right.
the place.
So what I'm curious about, Charles, is had you read the Castaneda books?
Well, I had read some of them when I was actually, I don't know, probably in my 20s. But by the time I actually lighted out for the United States, you have to remember that the preponderance, I think, of critical and academic opinion was that, in fact, Castaneda had made most of it up. So
that's what I heard
although,
too.
Yeah, look. Let me say straight away, they are brilliant books. I mean, he's a genius level novelist. But most of what he says he experienced in there probably didn't happen. And I know from personal experience that peyote doesn't work the way he says it does. Nonetheless, I mean, anybody who's read Castaneda's books has got to be inspired by them, I think. And I guess, I mean, I didn't come to the United States looking for any experience like that, but I think once I began to see traditional ways, you know, what I'd read in Castaneda was probably an influence. I mean, I'm sure it was an influence, that, you know, there probably was something extremely interesting here.
Yeah, I mean, it seems that way. It's why I asked. So here you are, and you're, it sounds like, were you in what you would say, like kind of a conventional, living in a conventional world in London when you decided to do this?
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge difference. I mean, I was a typical member of the North London middle class. You know, I had a huge house, couple of cars, vast mortgage, three children, a couple of cats, you know, all the usual things.
Right.
And I hadn't reckoned to spend more than about 3 months probably in the United States. I had no idea what I would do after that.
And you're still living there now in New Mexico, right?
15 years later, yeah. 15 years later, I'm still living.
Yeah, well. Interesting, huh?
I eventually became apprentice to another medicine man called Blue Horse. And, I mean, I wouldn't want anyone listening to think this was a fast process. It wasn't. I mean, it took a couple of years, really. Possibly even longer, before I was accepted by Navajo medicine men as somebody who was serious about this, wasn't learning it because, you know, I wanted to go off and be a medicine man myself or anything like that, but was just genuinely interested. And they felt that, you know, they could trust me enough to share some of it with me. Not all of it, but some of it. And so I spent the last 15 years as a medicine man's apprentice. I should add here, it's not 15 continual years. I don't wake up every morning, go to work as a medicine man's apprentice or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
It's been on and off. But during that time, I've learnt an awful lot. And, I mean, 15 years sounds a long time to your listeners and to you. It isn't. Navajo medicine is incredibly complex. Some of these ceremonies take 5-6 days to conduct. Even quite short ones will go on for 2 or 3 days. They're intensely complicated. All the songs.
So when you say medicine man, the medicine, what do you mean by that in terms of, I mean, is it like so you can cure somebody of cancer, or it's like a pure purification of the soul? What are you referring to when you talk about you know,
well,
Navajo
there, there's
medicine.
A whole, yeah, there's a whole layer here of sort of contradictory verbiage, really, which I'll try to explain. I mean, you referred to a shaman. Now, that's
right.
A name you will never hear among the Navajo. It's just, you never hear it. That's not the way to think of it. They call what you would call, and probably most of your listeners would call a shaman, a medicine man. But medicine man is itself an anglicization. The Navajo word is hitari, which means literally a singer, or actually more correctly, a chanter, somebody who chants. And of course, it's from the word chant is the root word for our word enchantment. So medicine man is actually an attempt by the Navajos to put into English what is essentially what Castaneda called a man of power. Medicine in this case doesn't mean medicine you give to sick people. It means power.
Okay. It's right. By the way, the shaman that I mentioned was in the what your publicist sent me about you.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it was. That's the word white people use. All I'm saying is the Navajos would never use a word like that. Yeah.
So I want to come back to that distinction you made from from really what the reference to is a medicine man is a man of power. What do you mean by man of power exactly?
Well, the medicine man is a kind of, how can I put this? He's a kind of intermediary between the world of the spirits and the world of the people. You know, between our world and the other world. He's also a man very much who deals with witchcraft. Now, there's a lot of witchcraft being carried out on the reservation. I should tell you, the Navajo reservation is huge. I mean, it's a lot bigger than several European countries. It's bigger than a couple of U.S. states. I mean, it's very big. There's a lot of witchcraft goes on there. And one of the things we're continually dealing with, the medicine, Blue Horse and me as an apprentice, are people who believe that they are victims of witchcraft. And people who have been cursed by Navajo witches, among the Navajo, a curse is not a form of words as we might use. You know, the classic bell, book, and candle, you know, where you get cursed. It's a physical object, and it'll be a hide covered bundle with a lot of what Navajos would call bad stuff in it, which is things that are used for cursing, and that will be buried somewhere around the person's home, usually quite close, but sometimes it can be miles away, and the medicine man's job is to find it. And he does this by divining in fire. One of my jobs as his apprentice is to bring in these red-hot charcoals. They're red-hot, but they're not on fire. And he will look into those, and he will look for the things that have happened in the past, the present, the future even, to divine what the trouble is, what is causing the trouble. And then it will also tell him where the witchcraft curse is hidden, and he then has to go out and find it. But he has a sacred whistle that he blows at one point in this, and he tells me, I've never experienced this myself, but he tells me the whistle calls the spirits to him, and he hears a voice telling him where to find these curses. Now, you know, I can hear or imagine quite a number of your listeners, you know, grinning to themselves about this. But I've seen hundreds of these things, not one or two or five or six, hundreds. And, you know, at first I didn't believe it either. But the medicine man finds these curses so often and so accurately that I can only take his word for it, and that's what happens. I mean, sometimes, I mean, we find curses that have been hidden 40 feet up in a tree, things like that.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying these curses have physical form?
Yes. They're bundled about 6 to 8 inches long.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes they've been buried for years.
Keep talking into the phone, Charles.
Yes, sometimes they've been buried for years. And they will contain within them, I mean, what the Navajos say, you curse with something broken and something sharp. And often there's a stick in there that's been split in half. And pictures have been drawn in of the people who are being cursed.
Right.
And there may be a little stone arrowhead in there. That's a something sharp. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's loco weed in there, which is datura, which is designed to send people mad. Or you may find someone's been having trouble with drink. There's a bottle
right.
top in there. It's often it's surprisingly specific that when you find the curse, it's very often specific to the problem the person's been talking about. And as I said, I mean, when I started this, I thought, well, of course, medicine man goes around burying these things, doesn't he, and then digs them up. But then I've learned over the years that there are plenty of real witches on the Navajo reservation who are going around burying real curses. So having medicine men bury them would probably be a bit pointless.
So what I like to do is ask my guests to kind of bring this back to the theme of the show, is to inspire possibility. So what, by this knowledge of the Navajo Hymen, how does this create possibilities in people's life to read your books, the Spirit Land, and I know you had a book before, right? What was your other book?
Yeah, so it's called Meeting the Medicine Man. That was the sort of first.
Yeah.
That was the
so what?
First
what is somebody
book.
Gonna? What? How is reading these books gonna inspire people to think differently?
Well, first of all, I think whatever you're doing now doesn't mean that that's what you've got to be doing forever. I mean, sometimes life can take some very, very, you know, unlikely directions. You know, you have to remember when I came to the United States, nothing like this was ever in my mind. I had no intention of doing something like this, not even any thought of it. It just kind of happened. And I think the other thing that I'd say to people is don't be afraid of it. I mean, I'm sure you've all met them. I'm sure every one of your listeners met them. You know, people who said, oh, I could have done this and I could have done that.
Right.
But actually I didn't. You know, I'm still working for the same company.
There's that quote
40 years ago.
Yeah, by Mark Twain, the 20 years from now, your biggest regret is not going to be the things you did, but the things you didn't do.
So, I think that's
so throw off the bowline, sail away from the safe harbor, dream, explore, and discover. That's a quote that I've always resonated with. And I had a similar path than you. I was a lawyer for many years, and with the year 2000 coming up, the new millennium, I said, you know, I'm done. I just gotta go with this new millennium idea. And that's when I shifted from being a trial lawyer to the work that I do now. And it's been I didn't know what I was going to do. For a year, I didn't do anything. Now it's like 19 years later, 19 years later, and my life is so different. And sometimes you just have to take a leap of faith and feel like you're being guided. And that's kind of what I did.
Well,
it sounds like it's what you did.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't put it better. I mean, I had no idea what to do. And, you know, I do think, and, my heart goes out to them, actually, people who would love to do something like that but just don't have the courage to do it. And, you know, I've met people who say, well, if I do this, where will I be in 5 years' time?
Right.
The answer is you cannot possibly know. There is no way that you're going to know what you're going to be doing in 5 years' time. Anything could happen. You know, you could be swallowed by an earthquake or hit by an asteroid
right.
or something.
Yeah. I like that what you just said. It's true because so often when we're younger, we say to people, and I do in the coaching I do, I'll say to somebody, you know, how do you see yourself 5 years from now? And to kind of have a vision for their life. But I also think that by having a vision, you open yourself up to other possibilities. Because I think in terms of my domain name is Inspire Possibility, and I call the show the Inspire Possibility Show, because here you were, you did have an intention to explore the United States. And by taking action, traveling, getting your ticket, traveling to Florida, renting a car, I would imagine, starting to drive, the result was different than you expected and much more transformative than you ever imagined. But you did take action, and you did put this plan into action, but it turns out that it ended up, or it hasn't ended up, but it's continuing to be something you never even imagined. And that's something that I say a lot, is that imagine your life exceeding your expectations and turning out better than you ever imagined. And you're a great example of that, of what you just said about, you know, about how in some ways 5 years from now, you have no idea what your life's going to be like. And that's why, in a way, it's important for people too that are listening today, take a leap of faith, open yourself up to new possibilities, and let the magic come in. And that's kind of really what I think you represent today in your journey.
I think that's very true. I mean, when you talk about magic, that's actually what I'm dealing with a lot of the time. But you know, when I was a young man, I used to go parachuting. And the truth is, it doesn't matter how carefully you check your equipment and everything else, in the end, you just got to jump out of that plane and keep your fingers crossed. You know?
Right.
I
know. The minor detail. No matter how many courses you've taken or how many videos you've seen or how many safety precautions you've made, eventually you just got to let go. You just got to let go and let God.
Exactly. You just got to hope for the best. And, you know, it is dangerous, but, you know, you'll never know what it's going to be like unless you do it. And, you know, you were saying about letting the magic come in. I think it's so important, and particularly I'd say this to your older listeners, you know, is to let go. Get out there, see what happens. And in the book, Spirit Land, The Peyote Diaries.
And by the way, Charles, we're running out of time, and I just want to remind our listeners, you're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. Our guest today is Charles Langley. His new book is called Spirit Land. Where can people get the book?
You can get it on Amazon, and you can get it on Kindle. If you put my name into Amazon, it will come up. Charles Langley,
and if people want to contact you to kind of talk to you about your experiences on the reservation, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, we've got a website which is thespiritdiaries.com, all one word, thespiritdiaries.com, lowercase. And you can also get at us from spiritlandbooks@gmail.com. That's all again, one word, spiritlandbooks@gmail.
Well, prompt. We're running out of time, so I found this conversation very fascinating. And
thank you.
Probably could go a lot longer. A lot of wisdom, and certainly I applaud you for your openness and for your ability to recognize that you were kind of stuck in your life and you needed to go in another direction. And as you said before, so many people, they can think about things or prepare, but they never do it. But you did it. You did it. You started on this adventure, and it's, I can't say turned out, it's turning out, because we're in it. Who knows, 5 years from now, you could be in a whole different place, and that's what makes this life, I always say, make your life an exciting journey, discovery, and you're certainly doing that, so I want to applaud you for that, and thank you for being on the Inspire Possibility Show, and remind our listeners that every week I invite a lot of amazing people to join us, share their wisdom, their journey, and hopefully by listening to this, you also feel inspired. So in the meantime, until next week, journey on.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.